wanted to read the first half of the first chapter of Isaiah. Just to comment on the context, the book of Isaiah was a prophet, and he was speaking not to individual people, but he was speaking to the nation of Israel as a whole. All of us as individuals exist as individuals and as part of a greater community. We're part of the body of Christ here. So when we go to confess our sins, it's not me up here confessing my sins and you each confessing your sins individually. We confess the sins of ourselves, but the sins of ourselves become the sins of God's people as a whole. So let's keep that in mind as we read from Isaiah. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Children have I reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord, they have despised the Holy One of Israel, they are utterly estranged. Why will you be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick, the whole heart faints, from the sole of the foot, even to the head there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds. They are not pressed out or bound up or soften with oil. Your country lies desolate, your cities are burned with fire, and your very presence, foreigners devour your land. It is desolate, as overthrown by foreigners. And the daughter of Zion is left like a booth in a vineyard, like a lodge in a cucumber city, like a lodge in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. If the Lord of hosts has not left us a few survivors, we should become like Sodom and become like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of lambs. And the fat of well-fed beasts, I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing it. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourself. Make yourself clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's pray and confess our sins. Lord God, we are your people. We are an unfaithful people. We have not always lived up to your standards, to your law, to your holy character, but Lord, we are your people. And so we come before you this morning to confess our sins, not just our personal, individual sins, but the sins of our church as a whole, our nation as a whole, indeed the sins of our entire world. We confess to you, Lord. We know that you hear because you have said you sent Jesus to be the propitiation, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. Lord, we confess our sins to you, asking for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.
In our confession of faith, we're again returning to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which rehearses the great biblical truths that are contained in the Bible and were formulated some 400 years ago now. We start out usually with a short review. Why are we here? What's the principal purpose of man or chief end of man? Exactly. Glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And what's the chief rule by which we do that? What direction do we have? Exactly right. The Holy Scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God. 2 weeks ago, we talked about sin, how man, because of his sin, had been put in a state of sin and misery. By the way, what's sin? Any violation of the law of God. That's important for us to remember because so many people try to tell us what's sinful. And only God defines sin. His law defines sin. And then last week we talked about the Redeemer, the blessed Redeemer, that God did not leave man in a state of sin and misery where he put them, but had sent us a Redeemer for his elect. And this week we're going to talk about some of the offices of our Redeemer. I apologize once again, the overhead projector is not working. Last week it was a ball. We got a ball, but it still doesn't work for some reason. So it's going to be hard for me to put those up there. What I would like to do this week, since the answers are not terribly long, is I'll read the question and I'll read the answers in phrase, and then you repeat the answers after me. And that way at least we'll have a chance to do a congregational reading there. So I'm going to be doing questions 23, 24, 25, and 26 of the shorter catechism. 23 is, what offices does Christ execute or perform as our Redeemer? The answer is, Christ is our Redeemer. Executes the office of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. Both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. The next question, how does Christ execute the office of a prophet? Christ executes the office of a prophet.
Christ executes the office of a prophet.
In revealing to us,
by his word and spirit,
the will of God for our salvation. Next question, how does Christ execute the office of a priest? Christ executes the office of a priest.
Christ executes the office of a priest.
In his once offering up,
of himself as a sacrifice,
to justify divine justice, and reconcile us to God, and in making continual intercession for us. And the last question we'll address today, how does Christ execute the office of a king? Christ executes the office of a king.
Christ executes the office of a king.
In subduing us to himself.
In ruling and defending us,
and in restraining and conquering all his and our enemies.
All his and our enemies.